Good morning, everyone. We'll call this meeting to order. My name is Michael Condon. I'll be sitting in for Stephen Merriman today. Big shoes to fill. The first thing we'll do is have our call to order. I'm going to call to make sure that everybody's here that we're expecting. Karen Jarrett, you're on the line, as I understand.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Merriman is not present today. Larry Evans.
Here.
Stephen Plunk.
Here.
Trapper Griffith.
Here.
Michael Condon, here. And Hunter Hall.
Here.
Fantastic. Will everyone now rise to do the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance. Dear Lord, please bless all parties who are here before our board today and the members of the board so that we act in the best interests of the city of Savannah and its residents and help us to make good decisions. Amen. Now we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Lotson, do we have any notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments?
No, sir, Mr. Chairman, but we do have two items requested to be removed from the final agenda. The agenda only shows one item, which is 1206 East 68th Street, but we also request that 618 Montgomery Street be added to items requested to be removed. The petitioners requested that, but we did not move it on the agenda in time after it was posted. So both 1206 East 68th Street and 618 Montgomery Street been requested to be removed from the final agenda and continue to the next meeting.
Thank you, sir. Can I have a motion to add 618 Montgomery Street to the items requested to be removed from the final agenda?
So moved.
So moved.
And seconded?
Second.
Okay, so we'll call the vote. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Larry Evans?
Yes.
Stephen Plunk?
Yes.
Trapper Griffith?
Yes.
Hunter Hall?
Yes.
The motion passes. We'll move on to approval of the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes from the March 25th meeting?
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
And we'll go to the call. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Larry Evans?
Yes.
Stephen Plunk?
Yes.
Trapper Griffith?
Yes.
Michael Condon? Hunter Hall?
Yes.
The approval has passed. Then approval of the final agenda. May I have a motion?
So moved.
And seconded. Thank you. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Larry Evans? Stephen Plunk?
Yes.
Trapper Griffith?
Yes.
And Hunter Hall?
Yes.
Thank you all.
Mr. Chairman, there are no items under consent agenda or old business. So with that, we can move into the regular agenda. First item being 3403 Bull Street.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to show a brief aerial map of the location that we're talking about for 3403 Bull Street. It is this lot shaded here in red. It is currently undeveloped. The petitioner is requesting a variance to encroach 8.6 feet into the ordinance required 10-foot side yard setback, and also to encroach 10 feet into the ordinance required 20-foot front yard setback at 3403 Bull Street. I also want to show some street view images just so you can kind of get a visual for what we're talking about here. Let me show the first picture. So this empty space to the right of this tree is the lot that we are talking about. This is taken from Bull Street right here. This image shows the lot here in this location. It's important, I'm going to reference this brick wall that's right here. There's also a fairly wide sidewalk on the other side of this brick wall that goes down the rest of the property. A little bit of backstory, this owner right here previously owned this lot and sold it. So this fence is going to be moved. Just wanted to kind of let you all know that before I run through my report here. The subject property is 0.10 acres in size and is undeveloped. It is a non-conforming lot within the RTF zoning district. Subject property is located on the west side of Bull Street between West 50th Street and West 50th Lane. Like I said previously, the purpose of the variance request is to allow the construction of a single family detached home that fronts Bull Street, encroaching 8.6 feet into the 10-foot side yard setback and 10 feet into the ordinance required 20-foot front yard setback. I also want to note that there are the two other existing homes on Bull Street, bounded by West 50th Street and West 50th Lane, do not conform to the current ordinance front setbacks and are similar to what the petitioner is requesting. So the ordinance requirements would make these homes be pushed back a lot further, but these were in place prior to the current ordinance. The petitioner indicates that the side yard setback encroachment is also in keeping with the setback for the property directly to the south. At the time of staff writing this report, we have received neither opposition or support from any of the surrounding property owners. I'll go through the criteria in which you can authorize a variance in this case. The first point is general consistency, that the variance shall be consistent with the intent of this ordinance and the comprehensive plan and shall not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Staff has found that the variance request is not consistent with the ordinance and the comprehensive plan. However, the front and side yard setback variance requests are in keeping with the pattern of development in this block. Adhering to the ordinance requirements would negatively affect the streetscape and pattern of development in the neighborhood. The next criteria is special conditions, and in finding that the special conditions and or circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved, and which are not applicable to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Staff has found there are special conditions and circumstances that are peculiar to the land involved in this request. As the existing lot is non-conforming in size, with broad sidewalks and existing brick wall, requiring the variance request to encroach upon the front and side yard setbacks. Next criteria is that the special conditions and or circumstances do not result from the actions of the applicant. Staff has found that the existing conditions of the undeveloped lot on Bull Street do not result from the actions of the applicant, as they did not create the non-conforming lot. The applicant wishes to develop the lot and thus they are requesting these variances. The next criteria is that the special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature, so as to allow the applicant to use the land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. Staff has found that the special conditions do not exist as a result of the petitioner and current property owner. They seek to develop the parcel, which of course is a financial decision. However, the development of the subject parcel in this case cannot be deemed to be more profitable or to save money given the unique circumstances of this petition. The next criteria is that literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district under the terms of the ordinance that would result in unnecessary and undue hardship on the applicant. Staff has found that literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. There are several examples of smaller lot sizes that are developed and encroach within the front and side yard setbacks in the neighborhood. Next criteria is that the variance, if granted, is the minimum variance necessary to make possible the reasonable use of land, buildings, or structures. Staff has found that the variance is not the minimum variance necessary to make reasonable use of the land. However, the front yard and side yard variance requests are reasonable based on the fact that the lot is existing and it fits the development pattern in the area. The final criteria is that the variance would not confer on the applicant any special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Staff has found that the variance, if granted, would not confer on the applicant special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning districts. I do want to go and show one more image here briefly with you, and that is in the application. They have a survey, kind of shows where this existing, if you can all see this here. So the strange thing about this one is in the lower right corner, this line that my mouse is hovering over, that's that brick wall that exists on the lot. All to the right of that and in front of that is the wide sidewalk. Their property line doesn't begin till even further set back from there. So, you know, when you look at this on paper or hear it just spoken, you'd think that they're encroaching pretty far, but they are still quite a far distance from the road. They are not encroaching too close to the sidewalk where maintenance wouldn't be able to be done by the city or anything like that. So for those reasons, staff recommends approval of the variance request to encroach 8.6 feet into the ordinance required 10-foot side yard setback and encroaching 10 feet into the ordinance required 20-foot front yard setback at 3403 Bull Street. Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for the staff?
Yeah. From looking at this map right here, how does the lot that we're talking about compare in size to the two lots to the south of it? It looks...
It's very similar. It's almost exactly the same size.
Frontage on Bull Street, so obviously correct. It looks very similar?
Yep, exactly.
And then what's the side yard setback for the southern property lot?
So the southern property line, so let me go back to here. So the side yard setback variance they're requesting is not for the southern property line that's closest to this building. Mm-hmm. I should have made that a little bit more clear. It is towards the West 50th Street side.
But they don't need one for the southern
line? They do not need one for this line down here. They're able to accommodate those ordinance required setbacks.
Very good.
Karen Jarrett here.
Go ahead, Ms. Jarrett.
I just wanted to ask about the garage in the rear. They had mentioned that they were looking for a variance for the garage. Have they withdrawn that request?
They have. So I talked with the petitioner and indicated, because they wanted to have an attached garage originally, which is why they were requesting that rear yard setback variance. I told them that if it's an accessory structure and not attached, that the setbacks are 5 feet for rear and side, and they actually wanted to do that anyways to have it detached, which wouldn't require a variance. So that's why they withdrew that rear setback variance request.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone from the public that is on the line or present that would like to speak about petitioner would like to speak? Yeah. Okay. Before I forget, has everyone been sworn in?
No.
Okay. Is there a specific verbiage we're supposed to use for that? I forgot to swear people in, so I don't have in front of me the specific verbiage we're supposed to use.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, they're in that folder over there.
We're just getting his exhibits pulled up, but typically with attorneys, we don't swear them in, but we can swear in members of the public that wish to speak.
Thank you, sir.
Attorneys always tell the truth. So, my name is Robert McCorkle, law firm of McCorkle, Johnson & McCoy. I appreciate y'all's time today. I'm not sure if I, there we go. Is that easier to see? We support what the staff said. Staff went down the criteria very thoroughly in their review of this. It's a little bit of a unique lot in this situation because not only the fact that it's a corner lot with a historic brick wall built around it, and that brick wall essentially establishes what the real yard is when you're on the ground. Everybody treats it as their yard, right? And we've also got the unique situation of these two houses that are in between 50th and the lane, and they are both, I mean, the house to the south of us is 1.4 feet off the lot line. So, and if you look at the two houses from the front, there was a picture earlier, there is two ruts and a hump driveway in between them that your car must almost touch the two houses as you're driving through it. So these two houses next to us are almost built zero lot line. They're also built very pretty close to the street. And so our request is we measured the distance from the front of those houses to the lot line, and then are also asking for the same 1.4 feet on the opposite side. So it would be completely consistent with the other two houses. The 1.4 feet sounds really small. As noted, just to give you the numbers, we will be at 1.4 feet, 7.1 feet inside the brick wall, even at the 1.4 feet, and we will be almost 17 feet from the curb. So obviously, if you applied a 10-foot setback to us, we would be some, 25 and a half feet from the curb, which would be a huge setback in this neighborhood, in this area. And interestingly, the house on the other side of 50th Street that's on the corner is closer to 50th Street than what we're requesting, and is similarly close to Bull. So there's a consistent pattern around the neighborhood, and we're just asking to stick with that pattern. And we support staff's recommendation and ask for your approval.
Thank you, sir. Are there any members of the public that are online that would have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I see
use the raise your hand button on your computer screen if you're interested in making a comment.
Mr. Chairman, I see no hands raised.
Seeing no hands raised, I will turn the matter over to the board. Does anyone have anything they'd like to speak about? No. Seeing no discussion, I'll move forward with a vote. Do I have any motions?
Move to approve the variance.
Second.
I have a motion to approve staff recommendation. And we'll go to the roll call. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Larry Evans?
Yes.
Stephen Plunk?
Yes.
Trevor Griffith?
Yes.
Hunter Hall?
Yes.
The motion passes. Next item on the agenda is 430 East 56th Street variance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could we see the actual text first? Does that make sense? What's the actual request?
Sure. So I'll leave that up on the screen while I'll read through it at the same time. So the nature of this request, the petitioner is requesting a variance to encroach 3 feet into the 20-foot rear yard setback and to encroach 6 feet into the side yard setback at 430 East 56th Street. Here's an aerial map showing the location. It is this corner lot here, bounded by East 56th and Atlantic Avenue. The subject property is 0.19 acres in size, and it developed, with a single family residence. It is a conforming lot within the RSF6 zoning district. It is bounded on the north side by East 56th Street, between Reynolds Street and Atlantic Avenue. The purpose of this variance request is to allow the construction of an attached garage at the rear of the property, and I'll show that here. So here's the garage, this shaded part here in the back, which would have access to the East 50th lane. Due to the peculiar shape of the lot, the petitioner is requesting to encroach 3 feet into the 20-foot rear yard setback and to encroach 6 feet into the 10-foot side yard setback at this location. I just want to note that at time of staff writing this report, we've received neither opposition nor support from any of the surrounding property owners. Going through the criteria that a variance can be authorized is general consistency, that the variance shall be consistent with the intent of this ordinance and the comprehensive plan and should not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Staff has found that the variance request is not consistent with the ordinance. However, staff believes it meets the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan while not being injurious to the surrounding properties and neighborhood. As far as special conditions, staff has found that there are special conditions and circumstances which are peculiar to the land involved in this request, as the existing lot is very peculiar in shape, with the rear of the property being the narrowest point of a lot and the appropriate place for a garage. For this reason, even if the garage was detached instead of attached, a variance request would still be needed due to the limited space at the rear of the lot. So like the last case we discussed, in this case, if it was detached, it would still need a variance request just because of how narrow it is back here in this location. Accessory structures have a setback of 5 feet from side and rear property lines, as I noted before, which this property could not accommodate within the reasonably proposed size of the garage. Staff has found that the special conditions relating to the lot shape and size are not the result from the application or from actions of this applicant or petitioner. Next criteria is that the special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature, so as to allow the applicant to use the land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. Staff has found that special conditions do not exist because of the petitioner or current property owner. They seek to add an attached garage, which is a financial decision. However, the development of the subject parcel in this case cannot be deemed to be more profitable or to save money given the unique circumstances of this petition. Next criteria is that literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district under the terms of the ordinance and would result in unnecessary and undue hardship on the applicant. Staff has found that the literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district and neighborhood. Next criteria is that the variance, if granted, is the minimum variance necessary to make the reasonable use of land, building, or structures. Staff has found that the variance is the minimum variance necessary to have an attached garage. If the garage was not attached, the petitioner would still need a request a variance due to the small lot area at the rear of the property. The final criteria is that the variance would not confer on the applicant any special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Staff has found that the variance, if granted, would not confer on the applicant special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. For all those reasons mentioned above, staff is recommending approval of the variance request to encroach 3 feet into the ordinance required 20-foot rear yard setback and to encroach 6 feet into the ordinance required 10-foot side yard setback at 430 East 56th Street. Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for staff?
Can you switch back to the overhead photograph?
Sure. This is a concrete pad back here, not a garage or building or anything like that.
I was going to ask what that structure was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No other questions on that. I just wanted to see that picture. Thank you.
I do have a question. So that they'll access this garage through the lane?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, I'll open this to the petitioner. Is the petitioner online or available?
Yes, I'm here.
Would you like to say anything?
No, not really. I think staff did a great job of explaining what we want to do. And because that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No worries. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor or in opposition to the proposal?
Mr. Patechny, can you just state your name for the record, please?
Yeah, Robert Patechny.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I see no hands raised.
Seeing no hands raised, I think we can move this on to a motion if the board members see fit to do so.
Well, this isn't really a discussion point, but another question for staff. Just still looking at this picture, the neighboring property out their rear door appears to have some structure that looks like it almost invades the subject property. Do you know what that is?
I do not. And also, these lot lines here aren't survey accurate. So a lot of times they look like they're coming into the other side yard. I don't know what that is. The way that it looks like, it could even be just paving or cement or something like that. Very similar to what this is back here. But I do not know that off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any additional questions or board discussion? Would anyone like to make a motion?
I move to approve both of the petitioner's requests.
Second.
Second.
I second.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve staff recommendation. We'll call the roll. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Larry Evans?
Yes.
Stephen Plunk?
Yes.
Trapper Griffith?
Yes.
Hunter Hall?
Yes.
The motion is approved.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is East 39th Street.
All right, good morning. The location of this subject property is near the corner of Live Oak and 39th Street in the Live Oak neighborhood. It's a couple of blocks north of Victory Street. Subject property is 5,120 square feet. It's a vacant lot that the petitioner is concurrently requesting to subdivide into two separate lots, lots 3 and 4, which I have here. Zoom out a bit so you can see it better. So both proposed lots 3 and 4, they have the same area and dimensions, width of 35 feet and an area of 2,560 square feet. This is why the petitioner is requesting a variance, because these particular lots, they don't meet the standards for the zoning district, which is TR3. The lot dimensions for the TR3 zoning district, the minimum lot width is 40 feet, and the area is a minimum of 3,000 square feet. So essentially, the lot is 8 feet short of the required width and 440 square feet short of the required area. So what I have here, let me scroll over some. This is an aerial of what exists in the neighborhood. As you can see, the shaded square is the subject property. Most properties within the zoning district, they meet or exceed the lot area and the lot width. There are a few properties that are deficient in lot width. As you can see here on the corner, there's a couple here near the south. There's a few. But the predominant development pattern and lot pattern in this neighborhood is for lots that are at least 40 feet. And I can say that there's more lots that are 60 feet in width. More lots that are 60 feet in width than there are lots that are less than 40 feet. So I'm going to read a few of the review criteria that we have in order for a variance to be approved. Special conditions or circumstances do not result from the actions of the applicant. Staff finds that the circumstance exists because the applicant is requesting variances to grant approval for a petition subdivision. The subject property is developable and can the subject property is developable and conforming in its current state. The special conditions or circumstances are not purely financial in nature, so as to allow the applicant to use the land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. Staff's comment is that although the intent is not known for subdividing the subject property, doing so would increase the potential profitability of the property to the owner. Next criteria, the minimum variance, the variance, if granted, is the minimum variance necessary to make possible the reasonable use of land, building, or structures. A staff's comment is the variance, if granted, is not the minimum variance necessary to make possible use of the land, building, or structures. The subject property could be developed as is without the subdivision and variance. Regards to special privileges, the variance would not confer on the applicant any special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Staff's comment is that the variance, if granted, would confer on the applicant special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other properties within the same zoning district. Staff did, as with all cases, we mail out notifications to property owners within 300 feet, and we did not get any public public comments of letters of opposition or support. Based upon the subject property's existing conforming dimensions within the TR3 zoning district and consistency with the establishment development pattern of the neighborhood, staff recommends denial of the request for the variances of proposed lots 3 and 4 at East 39th Street. I'll be happy to answer any questions, staff.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for staff? No. I think, is there anyone here that would like to speak on behalf of the petitioner?
Again, Robert McCorkle, McCorkle Johnson McCoy, on behalf of the Fisher Hall Real Estate.
And I ask y'all just to bear with me for a minute. Can y'all see the screen or is it black?
No.
Bear with me, please, with the pictures, because normally I would do this on this thing, the projector. Shrink it and go back up. Okay. So the subject property is interior lot on 39th Street near the Live Oak, as was mentioned. I want to note that historically the lots in the Live Oak neighborhood as originally designed were 30 feet wide. As you'll see in this SADIS map, over the years those lots have been combined and recombined and subdivided and have various sizes throughout the neighborhood. As mentioned, we submitted a subdivision plat to divide this lot into two lots of 32 feet wide for the purpose of building two infill single family residences. My client builds nice infill single family residences. I have requested this exact variance on numerous properties on 39th Street and 40th Street, various areas around this, and we, you know, successfully gotten those variants on different occasions and have built very nice single family houses infilled into these neighborhoods that have been sold and added to having new families taking over some of these empty lots. I did want to show the map of the SADIS map just to show that, though I do agree that sub 40 foot lots are not the prevailing standard in the neighborhood, they do exist. The highlighted green lights on your green lots on your screen are all sub 40 foot lots. Sorry, technical difficulties again. Thank you. So just to show the map, just to show you that there are houses built on sub 40 foot lots in the area, and this is not completely out of character for some of the surrounding lots. I want to show just this corner lot right here, 12 and 13. It's diagonally across from us, just for a frame of reference. I want to show, and I'm not sure which one is which, so hold on just a second. I want to show a picture of those two houses. So those are the two houses that are on the corner diagonally from us that are built on 30, 33 foot lots. Just to give you a flavor for the house and the size of the lots as they're constructed. I do want to mention the staff report does mention that the variance as requested will not adversely affect the neighborhood. We don't have any neighbors objecting, including the immediate neighbors who received notice of this. We agree with staff that this will not be detrimental to the neighborhood. We believe it will be an absolute positive asset to the neighborhood because we will take what has been a long time empty lot in the middle of this neighborhood and build two very nice new infill houses on it. Just to give a little flavor of the block that we're building on, I want to show you these photos. I can get to them. Okay. So this is the house immediately next door to our lot. That is immediately to the left of our lot. You can see our empty lot over here to the right. This is the housing across the street from us. This is diagonally across the street, same house as we move down the block. You will see they're all, you know, relatively small houses, been there a long time. But all somewhat consistent in size as we move down. So this, by way of example, is the project, the last project that my client did that we received a variance for over on 40th Street. And so that'll just give you a flavor of kind of the quality of the build of what my client does when he comes in and does these infill houses. So basically our request is that we don't believe that having sub 40 foot lots is completely out of the ordinary in the neighborhood. We do not believe it is inconsistent with the historic lot size of the neighborhood. We agree with staff that it will not in any way be detrimental to the neighborhood and it will in fact be an asset. So we would ask that we would vote against staff's recommendation to allow us to subdivide these lots to 32 feet so that we can build two single family residences in the neighborhood. And with that, I'll answer any questions that you have. And sorry for the technical difficulties.
I'm the last guy gonna throw stones here. I'm like trying to figure out everything myself. So no worries about that. Do we have any questions for the petitioner?
Sure, Mr. McCorkle. First of all, did the lot width requirement change when Savannah's zoning ordinance changed in this neighborhood?
I believe that it did, but I don't know what the previous lot width minimum was.
Okay. In the prior instances where you indicated you had received or your client had received a variance, was that under the old zoning ordinance?
I believe that the last one that we did was under the new zoning ordinance, but all the ones before that were in the previous zoning.
Okay.
I don't think that size of house we're going to build will be inconsistent with the size of houses that are built around us. Our lot is 60 feet wide. On the corners, a lot of these lots are fairly wide. In the middle of these lots, usually 40, 43, 42 feet is probably most of what's around in the area. We are obviously be narrower than that. I don't think as you're going down and driving down the block face, it's going to be necessarily particularly perceivable to you, other than the fact that we would have two brand new houses built on in an area that doesn't have a lot of new construction.
Any other questions?
I have a question for staff.
For Mr. McCorkle, but on is 30, we're talking about a subdivision for to 32 feet?
Yes.
Okay. When you're looking at the Sages, it looks like the current lot is 60 feet, but it's
I think the Sages number is incorrect. I think it's actually 64 feet.
Okay.
And so that is the actual survey for the site. We already submitted the subdivision plat to the MPC, is typically the way in which we do this. So it's already going through the process of getting approved as far as setbacks and all of those other things are concerned. And the one thing that has to be done before it will be able to be approved would be to obtain the variance. But the measurements are accurate on the subdivision plat.
I think Ms. Jarrett has a question.
Yeah, I had a question for staff, and it was basically the same question that was asked of Mr. McCorkle. Have the width changed from the old zoning to the new zoning in this area?
I'm not necessarily sure about that. Maybe Marcus can give an answer to that.
Ms. Jarrett, give us a moment to research this. We have to identify what this property was zoned under the previous ordinance, okay, and if it changed. But we'll take a look at that and get you that answer before you finish deliberating.
Okay. And as far as staff's recommendation goes, the concern is not only the width of the lot, but the lot area as well. He is not going to have the lot area that is called for in that zoning district, and he's not going to have the lot width that's called for in that zoning district, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mr. McCorkle, while we're doing a little research, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I know a lot of these recombinations took place over time, and these lots were historically one size, and then for tax purposes, when they assign pins, if you own two of them, you just put them together as one pin. In this instance, was this historically two lots?
Yes, the legal description for this property is two separate lots. The city has for a long time had this interesting provision in the ordinance over the years, which is one of the things we've been fighting, asking for these variances over time, is that if you have a single owner of multiple lots under a single pin, then the city of Savannah treats it as if they have been recombined, even though there has never been a recombination plat. So if you went and ran title on this lot and tried to find where, and you could, if I pull up the map, you can see the lot numbers. Let me see if I can get the right one. If you tried to pull up the recombination plat here, and you can see it says lot 3 and lot 4, if you tried to find a recombination for 3 and 4, there is no recombination for 3 and 4. It was just owned by one person. The interesting fact about that, and what's happened and what's crazy about that just from a legal standpoint, is that if somebody had bought those lots in separate names, or in the modern world, if you had put them in separate LLCs, which is what we tell our clients to do now, you put them in separate LLCs and own them individually, then you have a pre-existing non-conforming lot that's 30 feet wide or 32 feet wide, and you can build a house on it. But if you own it, two of them together in the same entity instead of in separate entities, you can't, unless you get a variance. So it's been kind of one of those idiosyncrasies in the zoning world in the city for a long time. But no, yes, this is two separate lots, 3 and 4, and they were never formally combined, but they have been, as far as I know, owned together for a long period of time.
Okay. I think it's important for the board to understand that you're not attempting to take a 64-foot lot and create two 32-foot lots. These are two 32-foot lots that have one pin.
I would agree with that assessment.
We found that an answer to Ms. Jarrett's question. Prior to the citywide zoning, the property was zoned R6. The minimum lot width was 60 feet, and the lot area is 6,000 square feet.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor or against the motion or the proposal, excuse me? Please use the raise your hand feature if you're interested in saying anything.
Mr. Chairman, I see no hands raised.
Thank you, sir. At this time, I'd like to open this up to board discussion.
Sure. From a discussion standpoint, I'll sort of clarify why I originally asked the question of the change in the lot width from one zoning ordinance to the next. I mean, our charge is to apply the ordinance in the first instance. And so I was sort of curious what we could deign from that of, as far as, if you will, legislative intent. What was the objective here? And learning that it was reduced from a 60-foot width to a 40-foot width, to me suggests that the intent was to sort of increase density. And this variance request would be consistent with that and also consistent with the historical pattern. So I think that's a useful piece of information.
Karen Jarrett here. And my understanding, if I'm not incorrect, was during the rezoning, the new zone process, one of the goals was to get rid of or to put into conformity as many unconforming properties as possible. And that may be why the zoning was changed. Am I correct in that, Mr. Lotson?
Yes, Ms. Jarrett, that's a very good assessment. And just to give the board a little bit of history on the process that we went through, when we were looking at neighborhoods, especially ones that were developed historically, one of the things we considered is how many nonconformities existed within some of these neighborhoods, because that was one of the goals of NUZO, is to decrease nonconformities, which I think we probably address something like 6,000 plus lots in the city in terms of bringing them into conformity. But we did do a review of lot widths within neighborhoods to determine the best zoning classification for those districts. This is a long time ago, but I'm assuming that when we were looking at this neighborhood, it occurred to us that the 6,000 square foot lots were not the norm. They were larger than typical, but 40 feet and something in the range of 40 feet was more common. So that's why the TR3 zoning classification was appended to these districts. And when you go through it and you see that most of the lot widths are within that 40 foot range, that would have been the reason for reducing it from 60 to 40, not necessarily to increase density, but to allow for more conformity.
So if we were to split this lot, we would actually be creating non-conforming lots.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Any other discussion by the board?
Could we see the actual request, like the front page of the staff report? That's helpful if we could see the verbiage. Thank you.
Any other discussion by the board? Any questions? Seeing none, I'll move forward with a motion.
I move to accept the petitioner's request. Approve it.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion on the table for approval of the variance request for East 39th Street. Karen Jarrett?
No.
Larry Evans?
Yes.
Stephen Plunk?
Yes.
Trapper Griffith?
Yes.
Hunter Hall?
Yes.
The motion has passed and the variance is granted. Next item on the agenda is 107 Division Street.
Mr. Chair, the following three items are all petitions by the same applicant. Would it be suffice if we present all of these at the same time? They're generally in the same area. Okay.
Do we need a motion, Marcus, to review all of these at the same time? No. Okay. Yes, let's do that unless somebody else is opposed. Okay, thank you.
But please remember that you have to vote on each one individually.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so these properties are in the Woodville community. The screen that I have pulled up, let me zoom in a bit more. It shows one of the subject properties here on Division Street. And what we have is the applicant's proposed subdivision. So this is the subject property on Division Street. This is the subject property at 128 Wright Street and 131 Wright Street. The petitioner, as you can see on this map, is proposing to subdivide each of these properties into two lots. Currently, each lot is 13,150 square feet. And he wants to subdivide each of these lots into 50 feet lots. Currently, let's see if I can zoom in and get a better. It's not too clear on here, but the lots are currently each 100 feet in width. And these properties are within the RSF 6 zoning district. The minimum lot dimensions for the RSF 6 zoning district is 60 feet width and 6,000 square feet. So with his proposal, the lot area would still be sufficient. However, he's going to be short 10 feet for the lot width. Wanna back out to show you an aerial of the property. So as you can see, this is the immediate area that the petitioner is seeking to subdivide the properties. Many of these surrounding properties are vacant. And we feel that, so let me back up a little bit. So within our assessment, we noticed that Wright Street is a bit shorter. It's not as wide as Division Street, and it's a dead end street as well. So speaking with some of the residents who called in, they were informing us, informing staff that they had some concerns about potential crowding of the streets with parking. Also, Division Street is it's the route for Chatham area bus that passes along the street. The proposal and potential development in the future may increase the presence of on-street parking, which could conflict with the public transit bus stops. just want to read to you a couple of the findings that we had. The applicant has successfully developed a certain number of houses in the community already. I believe he's developed a few houses on Ferris Street, and there's this house right here on the edge of Division Street that the applicant recently developed. So the point that I was trying to get to earlier is that although the subdivision would create lots that aren't necessarily conforming with the zoning ordinance or the zoning district, we don't see that there's an existing development pattern in this particular area because there's not any houses that are developed. I'm just going to read to you a couple of the review criteria. The variance shall be consistent with the intent of this ordinance and the comprehensive plan and should not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. MPC staff notes that the requested variance is not likely to adversely impact the public health, safety, or welfare of the neighborhood. Special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature so as to allow the applicant to use the land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. Staff's comment is that although the subdivision would create the opportunity for more financial profitability, it would allow for development that is more suited and feasible for this particular section of the neighborhood. The variance, if granted, is the minimum variance necessary to make the possible reasonable use of land, building, or structures. Staff's comment is the variance, if granted, is not the minimum variance necessary to make possible use of the land, building, or structures. The subject property could be developed as is without the subdivision and variance. However, the development history and character of the immediate area shows that to be unlikely. Next criteria is that the variance would not confer on the applicant any special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Staff's comment is the variance, if granted, would confer on the applicant special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other properties within the same zoning districts. However, the special privilege would only be based upon ameliorating the predominant vacant nature of the immediate surroundings. We did receive a number of opposition for all of these cases, actually. 131 Wright Street, which is the property here, received three phone calls in opposition to the property being subdivided or seeking the variance. I can pull up here. There was a petition that was submitted to us via fax a couple of days ago, which speaks to the opposition of the variances, and just leave it up here for you to check out for a minute. But this particular petition, at about 70 or so community members speak in opposition.
Could you go back to the letter, please?
80. Yeah. Staff also received two other letters of opposition, particularly for the property at 131 Wright. I'll do this. Pull up the visual for that to show the highlighted section. So this property here in particular received specific opposition in comparison to the others. It's going to go to our recommendations. Based upon the lack of a development pattern and a significant amount of vacant property within the vicinity of the subject property's neighborhood, staff recommends approval of the request to the variances at 107 Division Street, 128 Wright Street, and 138 Wright Street, with the conditions that the applicant provide off-street parking for more than one vehicle for each proposed lot. Providing more than one off-street parking space would decrease the potential presence of on-street parking on roadways that are crowded and have existing bus routes. Be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Would you put the map back on that was the subdivision plat by the?
Sure.
Thank
Karen
you.
Karen Jarrett here.
Go ahead, Ms. Jarrett.
So I have some concerns that what we're basically doing is creating six non-conforming lots here. And we have residents who are not in favor of this. If we want to change this neighborhood, why would we not go for a rezoning of the area rather than creating non-conforming lots?
As usual, Ms. Jarrett, you have a wonderful question.
Do we have a response?
I agree with the chairman. That's a great question. That's something that I can propose to Marcus and Melanie. We can possibly see if we can look into doing something of that nature.
If we were to go through a rezoning, then at least the neighbors would have more input than I mean, they're certainly getting their input, but I think they would be able to more clearly speak to their desires and their concerns.
We're absolutely going to get to you, sir. Don't worry. There's nothing will happen without you having your say, sir. The any additional questions for staff?
Can you pull up the letters in opposition to 131? I don't know that we got those.
Sure. Are you speaking of the petition that was up there previously?
No, this one.
Yeah, just the other letters.
So are there three letters? Because I think we only saw one.
Yeah, so one letter. So let me pull this up. This is a letter of opposition specifically for 131 Wright, and this is from a resident on King Street. The other letter of opposition came from a resident who is speaking in opposition for all three proposals as well.
Do you want to go ahead and put that up for us, please?
Yeah.
So we have a single request for three different properties. It's one request for each property, right?
One request for each property, yes.
And staff's recommending we approve all three properties?
Correct.
Any additional questions by the board?
Back on the plat, if you could pull the plat up again, I'm curious, the existing structures, what are the widths?
So the width of this property here is 50 feet in width. I'm not necessarily sure the depth, but we may be able to see. I don't have the depth of that property on hand, but it's definitely 131 and a half. Yeah, because it's on the same depth as the properties on the block.
And is that new construction? Does that belong to the applicant, or was that developed by the applicant as well?
Yes, that property was developed by the applicant.
And what about the ones that aren't labeled as new construction? Are those the proposed structures?
Yeah, these are the proposed structures. They don't currently exist.
Any additional questions for staff? Thank you, sir. I think this might be a good time since there's going to be some discussion here. There's a number of people present at the meeting that we should do a swearing in so that everyone at the same time can do that. That way we'll be able to, if you're online, please repeat after us. If you're present in the room, if you'd please stand. And then please repeat after me. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Thank you all very much. And I apologize for not doing that earlier in the meeting. It was just rookie mistake. So so no additional questions for staff? Okay. So is the presenter, Mr. Williams, would you like to come and speak at this time? Or, whoever would like to, would like to speak, the petitioner.
How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning, sir.
My name is Leroy Williams. I'm a builder, and I've been in this neighborhood almost 3 years now. And I came before you all.
Mr. Williams, would you feel comfortable taking your mask off so we can hear you better? And you are a large gentleman, so yeah.
Okay.
Please adjust the microphone.
All right. So I came before you all a year and a half ago, maybe two almost. And when I came to this community and started building some homes, and it was a piece of property across the street that I purchased. Mr. Tyrone Ware right here came in here and say, Woodsville, the morning. I understood, kept on moving. But today, that same piece of property is still vacant. They don't want no growth in this community. And if they want growth, they want to predict how it's going to be, what you got to do. But no one's buying this property. It's available to me. It's available to them. And when I asked them to purchase, they say, we don't want to buy it. But they want to tell me what to do with this property. I don't want no argument with this neighborhood. I just want to get in, build me some nice quality home, sell them, and be done.
Right.
And if the neighborhood won't help, I'm willing to help. They explained to me Wednesday that it was an elderly lady at behind 131, and she had concerns. And I said, she had concerns. I won't have a problem putting a privacy fence up, which we already do with the new home, on my side and her side. They said they didn't want that. They just don't want nothing going on over there. So I don't know what to do. But I appreciate y'all approving it and hearing what they have to say and recommendation of approval. And that's all. If y'all have any questions, I'm here to answer anything.
Absolutely. Any questions for the petitioner?
I do. So staff had mentioned that their request for approval was conditional upon some parking minimums on the lots. Have you met all of staff's conditional requirements?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what the parking situation is going to be?
I will build a house with garages on them and on Wright Street, and I put garages on it so they can park inside, and they will also have off-road parking for another vehicle there. That was y'all request, right? That was y'all recommendation. I don't have a problem doing it.
Yeah.
And as far as Wright Street concerned, it's at a dead end, but not really a dead end, because people go back there every day, especially at night. Since we started building on Division Street, the traffic's slowing up a little bit because we get to see what's going on. It's like a little honeycomb hideout now. Mm-hmm. And everything go, I have pictures. They're not the best pictures to look at, but you will see vulgar things that go on out there. They got dumping going out there, sexual activity going out there on the same Wright Street that everybody concerned about, but nobody petitioned it to make something happen down there. But I am on my buck, not this.
While staff sort of focused on the parking issue that was raised, it seems that the neighborhood letters in my reading sort of focused more on the acreage and the lot size relative to the existing neighborhood. Was your response to that simply that
our response
it's not economically feasible that neighborhood to develop on the larger lot sizes?
No, I can't build $200,000 or $300,000 houses over there.
Mr. Williams.
Lot size. Oh,
yes, please.
I can't build $200,000 or $300,000 houses over there on those lot size, and a bank will give a mortgage on it. You have to start out to the bottom, then work your way to get the equity and the comps in those neighborhoods. But right now, person don't have cash, they're not coming to those neighborhoods. They have to go through a mortgage company, a finance company, get approved. Right. It's just not feasible to do these big lots and what I have been doing so far, people have been buying a house and moving in these houses. But what they offering to do, they own land out there. Let them try with days and see how far they get. And code compliance, I talked to Mr. Cheney. He will be out there next week because there's a lot of people that make accusations about what I'm doing. They are definitely in violations of a lot of things.
Thank you.
And staff touched on this, and I may have glossed over it. So you built the existing, when you're looking at the screen, you built the existing construction that sold up here to the top of the screen?
Yes.
Did you have to come before this board, or was that lot already non-conforming when you bought it?
It was already a 50-foot lot.
It was already a 50-foot
lot? Yes. The one on Division Street, 117 Division Street, was already a 50-foot lot, and the one on 38 and 36 Fair Street, those were 50-foot lots. I came before you all across the street for 36 and 38 Fair Street. To divide those to make it uniform, but then they say, you all guys say it can't happen because they wanted to buy the property and they never went out and did anything. They just don't want nothing to go on out there.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Yes, this is Karen Jarrett. It looks like there are a few lots out there that are big enough where you could split them and still be in the zoning. Have you looked at that at all?
Yes, ma'am, I look at it, but no one want to sell the land. They want to leave it as is. They don't want nobody to do anything with it.
All right, thank you.
I try to purchase them, but nobody want to sell nothing. Just want to hold on. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? We'll take the young lady in the back first.
Good morning. Mr. Williams is not fully telling the truth. My name is Dorothy Ware. I grew up in this community, 85 years old. The house that I'm living in, I was living there 62 years. And when I grew up here, I want to see the community grow. Where he built on Division Street, Mall Floyd. What I'm against, we are in an R6 zoning. He wants to put two houses on a 100-foot lot, and below that 100-foot lot, my family and myself own it. I have five children. Some of my kids are coming back. I want to see growth the right way. Mr. Williams don't live in this community. When we built out here years ago, people thought that we was ignorant because it was just wasn't a lot of houses. But I wanted to be in a neighborhood where I could raise my children. He's talking about what's happening. Our neighborhood is a peaceful neighborhood. We don't have a lot of problems out there, no break-in or nothing. Only thing I say, it's a 100-foot lot. Build a house on a 100-foot lot. If he built it on 50 feet, two house on 50 feet, what's going to happen with my property and my family property below that? So that's what I'm saying. I want to see growth, but let it be the right way.
Ms. Wilk, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Yes. No.
First of all, thank you for coming to our meeting today, and thank you for voicing your opinion. Why would you say that this area, which is really a lovely area, I'm familiar where it is, why is it that you think that people aren't building houses out there?
They are building. He has built nice homes. I love the homes he built. Mm-hmm. But why come on the street? It's zoned, R6 zoning. Where he built those houses, I am 85 years old. Houses was there the way he built them. Where he want to build those 100-foot lot, they haven't been divided. So why do he want to build them? He don't live in the neighborhood. So if he lived in the neighborhood, maybe he would know how I feel.
Yeah. Ms. Wilk,
Where?
My apologies, Ms. Ware. Is your concern that the potential exists that it would be too dense, too many houses in the neighborhood if this was allowed?
Sir, it's 100 feet. My family and myself beyond that. It's three lots beyond what he want to build.
Mm-hmm.
He had the opportunity to build 50 feet on the Division Street. He has the opportunity to build on the right side of Division Street. There are no houses going to be behind those houses. Where he want to build on the left side of Wright Street, I'm right behind it. And I own property below where he want to put 50 feet. I have nothing against him building a house there, but why not go with the rule of the block, of the rule of R6 zoning? R6 zoning don't call for the area, two houses in the area that he want to build that house in. But now the houses he has built, they're nice houses. But I mean, I'm a firm believer. Treat people as you wish to be treated. We don't have a problem in the neighborhood. I go to sleep every night and I sleep peaceful. I was a widow now for 6 years. And Joe, he said about what's happening. I don't have heart trouble. I don't have nothing. I believe in letting live. And if you look for trouble, you will find trouble. But Mr. Williams know more about my neighborhood than I do. I grew up in the neighborhood, living where I'm at now for 62 years. Want to see the neighborhood grow the right way.
Thank you so much, Ms. Ware.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Tyrone Ware. I'm a resident of Woodville, also president of the Woodville Community Action Organization. It's my mother. I heard staff say that, you know, a lot of lots are not developing around what Mr. Williams was posting on 131 Wright Street. Well, those lots are going to be built out. They're provided for. My grand uncle used to own that complete block phase area at one time. Both my grand uncles. When my mother built in 1959, there were hog pens all around, even when I grew up. We were only annexed to the city in 1977. We were 3 miles exactly from City Hall, and one time had been Woodville, Georgia, although it had never been chartered. It had all form of government. And like I say, we grew up with chicken coops, hog pens, and just everything that was detriment. But one thing we always had was a strong love for the Lord and a strong hope for neighborhood and neighbors. We're still like that. We are a very close-knit community. Mr. Williams have come in, and he's built some quality homes, and he's built them to the point. And according to standards with the 50-foot lots, because they're lots of record. I think that you all opposed them about 2 years ago on Fair Street. I was not against that. I was against it to the point where we had someone that came at the same time that Mr. Williams came and wanted to subdivide a lot on King Street, which is a consistent block face every 100 foot, and wanted to subdivide two lots across from a lot that was 200 foot. And this person didn't realize that another petitioner was proposing to subdivide three lots into continuous 50-foot lots. And as a matter of right, they were informed by the MPC that they were allowed to subdivide into 75-foot lots and create four lots that would make up 75% of the average lot on the block phase area. That's in keeping. Mr. Williams has also done the same thing on King Street in Woodville on the western end of King Street, 200-foot lot. He'd subdivide those 200-foot lots into 67-feet lots. And I'm sure he's going to build quality homes as he has done a long line. I'm here for a matter of compromise and to talk about zoning. We were totally rezoned in 2007. 402 properties rezoned. The MPC never saw anything like it because we had one person in opposition when we came to the MPC. When we went to city council, it was unanimous, 9 votes. So we are a growing community. We're going through a renaissance. And again, homes are coming up. Not only Mr. Williams, I came back and built a home years ago. When I built a home, another home didn't come up in Woodville for about 10 years. But over the last 5 years, there've been about 25 rehab and at least 15 homes going up. And they're going up according to our master plan, affordable at all levels of income. So you have homes that are 1,400 square feet that have gone up over the last 3-4 years. You've also had homes that are going up to 4,500 square feet and more because those large lot size do attract people of growth because they were able to build their dream homes in some cases and keep people from going to pool. And most of them are residents that are coming back. The reason that those lots have not been developed on Wright Street, my sister owns the one next to Mr. Williams' property. My mother next to that and behind me. And on the other block phase, I have a home. There's an empty lot there that is 100 foot wide that was developed, but a home that had reached the affected life was torn down. And it was a good thing that was torn down, but we didn't bother the lady that was there because she was living there the best that she could, had been there for years. And then my sister property and then my family property, 140 feet there. Sometime in my lifetime, I have longevity in my family. My mother's 85 years old. My grandmother lived in 98. She lived in the community. My grand uncle moved out there in 1901. We go back generations, and most of the people in Woodville now are 4, 5, or 6 generations. We only ask you all to hear what's on the zoning on this. And there's a compromise to be made. And that compromise is that on Division Street, when I spoke with most residents over the last few days, they're in agreement with Division Street. They're also in agreement with Wright Street on the eastern portion, because those lot sizes, like my mother was saying, there were a lot of homes over there. There were also moonshine stills and hog pens over there, even in my lifetime, because that's the community, it was an agriculture-based community prior to that. And we did lose some of our residents to light industrial, and when we rezoned, we made compromises, and we actually worked with industry in the community, and we addressed them as neighbors, because they're gonna be there and we're gonna be there. Our thing is to be a safe, healthy, environmentally friendly community where residents are engaged in uplifting each other, spiritually, socially, and economically, while cherishing our heritage and promoting our significant history. And when NUSA was formed, we went down to, they had in the workshop, our current mayor, who's our district representative, after we came out to NUSA and stayed engaged even after UZO. We stayed engaged the whole time to ensure that the quality and character of the properties in Woodville, although a lot undeveloped at one time, 183 lots. I think now we have maybe 140 empty lots. And this is over the last 5-6 years. And there's some substantial growth going on. We work with the MPC, working with the George Port Authority to take us out of harm's way for us traffic, working with CSX and Norfolk Southern to stop the rail traffic. And the community is growing, it's becoming more desirable. And Mr. Williams building homes is making the community more desirable. But we only ask that compromise that on Division Street, no one's going to be in opposition at the point they're going to cry. I think what it is, you came at one time to subdivide 3 lots, and one of those, even though you're creating, want to create 6 conforming lots along Division Street, if you create 50-foot lots because of the block phase pattern of 50, predominantly 50-foot lots, in that case, it's compatible. On the eastern portion of Wright Street, It's predominantly 60-foot lots. So even though you're creating two substandard lots there, they're going to make up somewhere about 83% of the lot on the average block face area, which is Wright Street. So they're going to be, if you create two 50-foot lots there, it's not going to be harmful because on that side of the street, there's 60-foot lots. But on the particular side of the street that you own on Wright Street, if you subdivide that lot, because the lot play pattern with exception of one lot, which is 30 feet, which is bordering Division Street, and the back side of the street, which is 140-foot lot, my mother's lot, 100-foot lot, my sister's lot, 80-foot lot, and all along the pattern, all the way down to the canal, and on the same side of Wright Street, which is going to be developed probably by our family. That's the reason why we're holding on to this lot. That's why we've been paying taxes on these lots for all these numbers of years, because I'm hoping that my children will come back and build, right? My mother had the same thing. My father gave me a lot. He gave me a lot. And just to give you some reference, he bought three lots at $1,800 in 1963. He sold one of them less than 5 years later and paid for the two. One I'm living on now, and one that's behind me, maybe one of my children, one of my nephews, one of my nieces, grandniece and nephews will come back and live on those lots too. So the community may be opposed to not understanding a lot of things as far as zoning, but we ask that you all not create a lot that's not going to be at least 75% of the average lot on the block face area. And in the case of this, those two lots on Division Street meets their requirement, can be subdivided, we're in agreement. And on the eastern portion of Wright Street, we're in agreement. But on the western portion of Wright Street, we're in disagreement just because it's going to not be compatible with the zoning and the block face area.
Don't go anywhere. I have a couple of questions for you. Thank you very much for appearing here today and giving us so much very good information. I want to make sure I understand you correctly, though. So with the proposal for 107 Division Street, are you not opposed to that one?
Not opposed to that. Even some of the people I spoke with yesterday, including my sister and some of the people writing letters, understanding that that's
okay. And there are two proposals for Wright Street. And as I understand it, one of them, it seems like you're okay with, and the other one you're not okay with. Which is the one that you're not okay with?
Not okay with the one on the western portion.
Marcus, could you help us with that? Is that 128 or 131?
128.
128 is the one that you're not in favor of.
Yes. I'm sorry. 128 we are in favor of. That's on the western portion.
It's 131 that you're not in favor of. The one that's 131 is the one that is abutting Division Street towards the back. Is that the one that you're referring to?
Yes, the one that abuts Albion Street. That will be on the western portion of Wright Street. And I would also say, Mr. Williams, will you subdivide the lot on Fair Street? I would ask that you resubmit it because it would have been in keeping.
I don't know if this is how the meeting's supposed to.
I know. We can't just thank you so much. The discussion is just between us.
And there's these versus these. So this is Wright Street here. This is your property right here.
The one that falls is the one on this side of Wright Street, the division right.
131. Right. Yeah. 128 right there. So this is my mouse is hovering over 131. You can see that?
Yep.
Right here. 128 is the across the street.
Yeah. 128, we're not in opposition to that.
Were you involved in the petition process of getting those names?
I did not sign that petition because I would ask that we would be governed by zoning. And I informed the people, for me to present it, and I got a lot of things I pull up on the phone, records. It's just a lot of things. Even back in 2008, when Mr. Tom Thompson was the director of MPC, they subdivided a lot over on Fair Street in August of 2008. And they did not adhere to the block base area. I think it was under Section 8-3009, where you cannot create a lot, a substandard lot, where the lot is not going to be at least 75% of the average lot on the block face area. That lot on 131 does not meet that requirement because the block face area is mainly 100 feet lot. Again, you're creating substandard lots on the 128, but they're going to be 83% of the average lot on that block face area. So there's no way we can stand in disagreement against that. That's why I didn't sign that petition. Even though you're creating two substandard lots, and the same thing you're doing on Division Street, you're creating two substandard lots. But I think what's going to end up growing, there's a property owner, and one of them is related to the petitioner. They're probably going to come and request a variance to subdivide that 140-foot lot into two 70-foot lots. We're not going to stand in opposition to that because it's going to be conforming to that block phase area, and it's going to be compatible for growth in the community. We want to see growth. And we want to see growth at all affordable housing at all levels of income. Let me give you another chance. The MPC came here, not the MPC, but the Habitat for Humanity came before you all about maybe 2 months ago. I rode through the community with the director, went and looked at some of the homes that they build up in Garden City. Nice homes, affordable housing at all levels of income. Their proposal was to subdivide 100-foot lot into 250. Where most of the houses on that were 75-foot, 100-foot on that block face area. They own another lot right next, and I knew that once they got one approved, this would come back. The compromise was that they combined those two lots, and now they're gonna build three homes at 67.3-foot lot, which was the right thing to do, not only for them, but for the community. And it's the same thing with Mr. Williams. Me and Mr. Williams almost went to blows at last city. We love each other now, we get along well. And I mean, it's not, for the good, my mother is standing in opposition. There's no way I can, as community leader, stand back and say, and know what the ordinance is and you know, and fight against her and fight against the community when we were totally rezoned in 2007 and going before city council to make sure that I was only going to be adhered to in new zone.
I just asked the question because I wanted to be clear. You had said you were in support of two of these proposals, just not one. And I wanted to see if that was the countervailing feeling of the community in general, or just your and your family's personal opinion on that?
After talking with most of the residents in the community, they're in agreement.
You think, in your opinion, they're in favor of at least two of these proposals? It's only one of them?
Not only that, but it's also in our zoning, not our zoning, but our master plan document.
Thank
you. It would not create a lot that's not going to be 75% of the average lot on the block phase area.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out.
Any other questions for Mr. Ware? Thank you, Mr. Ware. Please introduce yourself when you come up, sir.
How you doing? I'm Dexter Treadwell.
Mr. Treadwell, will you lift the microphone so we can hear you better? Thank you.
Okay. I owned the lot at 121 Fair Street years ago. Well, like he said, when I first came to Woodsville in 1981, hogs, chickens, goats. Woodsville looked like a little old black folk country town. I thought I went back in time when I came in. But in the process and in time, my mother opened up a beauty shop. Then later on, we decided to open up, take half our beauty shop and petition it to a soul food takeout. Mr. Tyrone here fought us tooth and nail. Tooth and nail. Even though knowing we had people in the neighborhood sign petitions, they didn't mind it. Because like you said, it wasn't nothing in Woodsville. When I came here in 81, it wasn't nothing in Woodsville, hogs, chicken, and goats. But then when we tried to open, oh man, we fought tooth and nail. We had got permission from the city that we could do what we wanted to do with our property and our building, but he fought us. Next thing I know, we were going up in smoke. Our business was burnt down. We were burnt out. But I came right here. Me and my mom, we came right here. Oh, I don't know if y'all the same staff, but we got permission to reopen, you know, because what happened to our business? Mr. Well fought us tooth and nail, even to go to the point of they told us I had to keep my building boarded up so people couldn't go in. Mr. Well had his friends come and pull my wood down. Oh, yeah. This man fought us tooth and nail. Now, my concrete slab that was on my property is grandfathered in. Mr. Ware didn't quit until he had the city come out and dig my concrete slab up.
Let's stick to just this.
But the point of the matter is this: here, I'm with Mr. Williams, and I think the main thing with them is that they don't want his homes near their house, because one of his properties is right behind their property. I have no problem, Mr. Williams. I looked at all the names on the petitions. My name ain't on it. My mama name ain't on it. why our names ain't on the petition. We live in Woodsville. We live in 109 Division Street. But my thing is this here, I'll be back again to petition to try to open up my business for me and my family. And I hope this time around, Mr. Ware don't do what he did the first time. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Yes, Mrs. Ware, you can come back. Oh, Ms. Ware wanted to say something, Ms. Williams. You Ms. Ware, please don't address anything that was stated that's not related to this petition.
The business that he is talking about.
We don't need to talk about that. It's unrelated to what we're talking about today.
It wasn't right from the beginning. Nobody fight it because it wasn't right from the beginning. If they sold food, this is fair
to be here. Ms. Ware, I'm sorry. It's not before us, so we don't need to talk about it. Thank you so much, though.
He's not telling the truth.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Mr. Williams, there are people on the, okay. Mr. Williams, before you speak, we do actually have somebody that's on the line. Okay. We're going to let them speak first, and my apologies for having you come up first.
Mr. Chairman, I've received a comment from Ms. Sandra Booker. She does not wish to address the board, but she wishes the board to note that she opposes item 10.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, is there an order of what we're supposed to be doing here? I mean, are we just taking?
We've combined all three of these into one discussion, and then when we're finished with that discussion, we'll separate them and vote on them individually.
My point is that, are we finished with discussion? I know I am.
I think right now we've got, we're checking to see if there's any members of the public who want to speak. And then if there are not, then we'll give Mr. Williams the opportunity to rebut, and then the board can take it from there.
Thank you. Thank you. So do we have any members of the public that are online that would like to speak for or against the proposals? Please use the raise your hand button if you are interested in speaking. Seeing none, I will give Mr. Williams an opportunity to speak.
I'd like to say that all this going on, I had no idea all this was going to get out like this, but I just want to build my homes, whatever I have to do to accommodate the community, as far as putting the fence up, because she says behind her property, I'll double side the fence. But that's all I could do, because this property was vacant before I purchased it. And if they didn't want nobody back there behind them, they should have purchased it. And it's a 40-foot lot next to my lot when you come up the Division Street. So what they're saying, it'd been there way before I got there. Like Mr. Ware just said, he want me to go back now to try to review on Fair Street, but that deal is done. The same thing with the situation here again. You want me to walk away from it, then neighborhood gonna still look the same and no growth gonna come. When is the growth really going to come? When they allow, they're going to put their own floor mat out there, not being arrogant in anything, then you purchase it, you do what you want to do with it, and then you can make it your neighborhood. But if that's your vision, put something behind your vision, not just coming here arguing every time somebody want to do something in Woodsville, you're going to keep fighting.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Thank you. Appreciate it. Any board discussion?
It's my understanding that if all or one of these were denied, Mr. Williams could not come back for a year about the same property. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I just want to make sure he's aware of that.
Is there a piece of advice you'd like to offer, Mr. Williams?
No, just that if one or all were to be, if we made a ruling today, he. Against him, he couldn't come back for a year. But if one of the items were to be tabled or something of that nature, the discussion could be continued.
So you're perhaps suggesting that a continuance would be a good idea while he works out issues with the neighbors?
That would be up to Mr. Williams.
Understood.
It seems that there really is only opposition to one of these. that two of the proposals before us appear to be in support. It may be in Mr. Williams' best interest to withdraw the one if he chooses to. It's entirely up to him, of course.
I'd like to look at that petition again before I say that I understand that that's only one that's in opposition.
Yeah. So I don't know if it might be of some interest to you, Mr. Williams, that you might want to withdraw one of the three petitions today and to bring it back for future consideration, or if you want us to vote on all three at the same time.
It's going to be the same song and dance a year and a half again from now. They're going to come in here, nothing going to happen. They're going to tell me what to do. And when they do that, once again, that's going to be another lot vacant, because I brought this land from the city of Savannah, from the land banks. We have a criteria. Once we purchase, we have a certain amount of days to move on.
To do something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So they're going to keep fighting. Every time you do something, if it was on a 100-foot lot, it'd be a different story. They'll tell you what they want on it, how they want the driveway to be done. It's always going to be a song and dance in this community.
All right, Mr. Williams. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do we have any motions?
I have a final question. I think one of our other members was asking the same thing. The petition, does it reference all three properties?
No.
It says only two?
Each petition is
the petition that was presented. There you go.
The neighborhood petition is what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That 70-something people signed. Does it reference one, two, or three properties?
All three of them.
Thank you.
Since there's no more board discussion, I'm going to move forward with item number 8 on the agenda and ask for a motion for 107 Division Street. Do I hear a motion?
I move to approve the petitioner's request for 107 Division Street.
Second.
And we'll have a second. So now we'll move forward with the roll call.
What was the motion?
Oh, the motion is to approve the variance in conjunction with the approval of the, thank you for clarifying that, sir. I'll go forward with the roll call. Karen Jarrett?
No.
Larry Evans?
Why don't you move on? I'm still thinking about it.
Stephen Plunk?
Yes.
Trapper Griffith?
Yes.
Hunter Hall?
Yes.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
The motion carries and the variance is approved. The item 128 Wright Street, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve the petitioner's request for 128 Wright. Second.
Seconded. And so the motion that we're voting on is to approve the variance for 128 Wright Street. Ms. Jarrett?
No.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
The motion for variance for 128 Rice Street has passed. And finally, 131 Wright Street. Do I hear a motion for the proposal for 131 Wright Street?
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
So I have a motion to approve staff recommendation for 131 Wright Street. We'll call the roll. Ms. Jarrett?
No.
Mr. Evans?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
No.
The motion has passed and the variance approved. Is there any other business before the board?
No other business, Mr. Chairman.
At this point, then, I will call the meeting adjourned if I have a motion to do so.
Second.
Thank you for filling in, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.